The Bible says in Isaiah 1:18, I'm going to give you this verse, and then we'll go into the New Testament and show how we can bring these things together with our Savior. Isaiah, of course, one of the great prophets of the Old Testament, and he has a message for Israel. This message is given, and the invitation is given in verse number 18 of chapter 1. And really, what I'm going to be thinking on tonight is found in these first six or seven words. It says, "Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." Here's the invitation that God gives to Israel, that they are to come together to Him and just sit down and reason these things out. Now, the Bible tells us that that our Lord is a counselor that is wonderful to us. Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, so many times we use as a Christmas message, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. I'm glad He came as a child, but He's always been the Son." And thank the Lord for that understanding of His Word. And the government should be upon His shoulders. His name should be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of course, Isaiah here is speaking of none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. "Come now, let us reason together." Have you ever had an incident, maybe in your life, that there came a point that you needed to sit down and just talk with somebody about a situation? Not necessarily something that was bad, but just something that needed to be discussed. What we do when that arises, when that comes to us, we are literally doing what the Lord says here in Isaiah chapter 1. We're coming together and reasoning. We're coming and reasoning together. Well, the invitation is from the Lord to us. "Come now, let us reason together." And this afternoon, I want to take just a few passages of Scripture in the New Testament where I believe the Lord did some personal reasoning with people that had a great effect upon their life. And I believe if we will take time in our life to let the Lord speak to us, let the Lord guide us, I believe it will have a great effect upon our life. And so tonight I want to take some four or five different places in the New Testament where the Lord talked with people and dealt with people and maybe even reasoned together with them about some things of their life, and we can see the end result of that even in the Scriptures. The first place I want us to turn to is the Gospel of John, chapter number 3. Now, we know this verse back and forth, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." I do not understand, and I do understand it, but I really totally disagree with it. So many times I hear people quote this verse from another version, and it seems to me like a verse like John 3:16, why didn't they just leave it alone? I mean, that's the verse that everybody knows. Why didn't they just leave it as it is? Because what it says is exactly a truth. We know here that John gives us the story of Jesus talking to a man by the name of Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a man that had wisdom as far as the world was concerned. Nicodemus was a man that had understanding about certain things, but he did not have spiritual understanding. And so I believe in John chapter 3, we find the Lord reasoning with Nicodemus, and we find Jesus talking with him and giving him some understanding that maybe he had never had before. We read these verses in John chapter 3, verse 3. "Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Nicodemus says, Lord, I don't understand what you're saying. And so the Lord is going to reason some things with him now. And he says to Nicodemus in verse number 5, "Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit." That's a very very understandable verse. We are born fleshly, but we must also be born spiritually. That which is of the flesh is flesh. That which is of the Spirit is Spirit. Nicodemus, you've got to have a new birth. There's got to be a change. There's got to be a second birth. You must be born again. And so as Nicodemus was hearing this, Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? There in verse number 9. What they're doing now, they're reasoning together. I believe John 3 is one of the good places where we see the Lord reasoning out with a man that was not unreasonable. He just did not understand. And he's asking these questions. He said, I don't understand. How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him in verse 10, thou art a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that which we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things, and ye believe not, how shall ye believe if I tell you heavenly things? And no man hath ascended to heaven, but he came down from heaven, even the Son of Man, which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world. Verse number 18 says, and he says he didn't send him into the world to condemn, but he sent him into the world that he might be saved, because he is the only begotten Son of God, for God so loved the world. And so we find here that they continue on and they continue talking, and we find that as Nicodemus has been dealt with about the Lord, Jesus talks with him about the wind blows where it listeth, or the wind blows where it desires. Here the Lord is trying to tell Nicodemus, he said, now, you don't understand, you don't see the wind, you can't point out the wind, but there is a wind out there that has an effect upon us. And we find that in these verses that Jesus is talking to Nicodemus about this wind that represents the Holy Spirit. And thank God tonight the Holy Spirit does and goes and desires to go wherever He wants to go. And He's not bound, He's not controlled by anyone or any person. But here Jesus talked to Nicodemus about this wind, that wind is irregular. Sometimes it's not always the same. The other day we went outside, and buddy, I tell you, the wind was moving along pretty good, and it was sort of irregular. It would settle down for a while, and then all of a sudden you'd have a gust of wind and think it's going to be blown away. And so the wind has no regular way about it, and the wind is invisible. You say, well, I can see the wind. No, you don't see the wind. You see the effects of the wind. You see what the wind does. And sometimes we will, in the spring of the year that will be coming upon us in just a few weeks, we hear of the storms, we hear of the tornadoes, we hear of all the things that take place, and we see that many times places are almost literally blown away by the wind. That's the effect of the wind. And Jesus was dealing with this man Nicodemus, making him understand that the wind is it comes along and then it leaves and departs. And he's reasoning with him about this. And Nicodemus, you must be born again. The Lord was trying his best to have him understand. Nicodemus, you got to do something. It's not enough to be a master. He said, well, you're a master of Israel and you don't understand these things. If I tell you earthly things you don't understand, how are you going to understand the heavenly things? And so the Lord was talking with Nicodemus and giving him all of these different things that come together in his life. Except a man be born again, he's not going to see the kingdom of God. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it comes. Where's the wind come from? Where's it end up? What about it? And here the Lord is telling Nicodemus that's what the Spirit does in our life. I don't know where He comes from. I'm just glad He shows up. I don't understand all the workings of the Holy Spirit, but I sure do know when He's around. And we know the presence. And we may not understand all the things of the wind that we see out in our world, but we see the effects of it. We see them and have understanding about it. And sometimes wind is invigorating. It helps us. You ever been working on a hot day and all of a sudden a cool breeze comes by? That's a blessing from the Lord. And so it helps us. And And the Lord talked with Nicodemus about this thing of the wind and how that the Holy Spirit deals with individuals. I don't understand when you're at a church service why and how the Holy Spirit deals with one individual and seemingly breaks their heart, and then another individual has no effect upon them. I don't understand that. I know part of it is the condition of the heart, the readiness to accept the Word of God and the readiness to accept what God gives. And so I know that's part of it, but there are some times that the Holy Spirit just comes through and you do not understand why certain things happen and why certain things are accomplished and not accomplished. That's the spirit of the wind. And I believe the Lord dealt with Nicodemus, and I believe He reasoned with him in trying to show him that salvation totally is of the Lord. It comes when it pleases. It leaves as it will. And thank God we have the story here that as Moses lifted up the wilderness, and when the Lord spoke of those words to this ruler of Israel, Nicodemus wasn't just some fly-by-night. He was a ruler in Israel. He was a man high up in the religious circle of his day. And when Jesus used that illustration of Moses lifting up that serpent in the wilderness, his mind immediately went back there and how that God had sent judgment upon them because they disbelieved the Lord, and how that as the Lord told Moses, said, "You put a serpent on a pole, and he that looks upon that, he shall live." I'm glad, thank God, you can look and live. It's all because, and that's that personal reasoning that the Lord did with this man Nicodemus. And you could go on and could just talk about that. But if you go over just another chapter, you have the Lord reasoning with this woman at the well. And she went to the well and she was ready to get some water, but she got more than she bargained for. She got more than she thought she'd get. In John chapter number 4, verse number 7, we're not going to read all the passage, but the Scripture says, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. And Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away to the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it thou being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." The very first word that Jesus said unto this woman shocked her to the point of she said, "Why are you talking to me?" Have to understand the background. The Samaritans were hated by the Jews. The Samaritan people were not Jews, nor were they Gentiles. They were half-breeds. They were half and half. And to the Jew, that was a deplorable thing. And the Jews were very prejudiced. And they were very locked in their system. They didn't want anybody else to touch them. And they didn't want to touch any. They wouldn't even go through Samaria. Jesus said, "I needs go through Samaria." You know why he did that? Because he knew that woman would be coming. She needed what he had. And the disciples, that most of the time, they would, or the Jews, when they come to the land of Samaria, they would make their plans. They'd go around rather than go through. They'd go around it because they wouldn't even want the dust of Samaria on their feet. That was defiled dust. And they didn't want that. They were Jews. And those people are nothing. And no wonder this woman, as she sat there at the well, no wonder she was surprised when Jesus, a Jew, would say, give me to drink. And she asked that question and says, "How is it thou being a Jew, ask me? Why are you asking me?" You know what Jesus was getting ready to do? He's getting ready to reason with her. He's getting ready to talk to her about some spiritual matters that were very, very important to her. So he talked to Nicodemus about the wind and salvation, and now he's going to talk to this woman there at the well, and he's going to talk to her about water, the water of life. Thank God tonight for the water of life. And he's going to give her some things that she's never heard before. And she said, "How is it you would do that? And Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans." Verse 10, Jesus answered and said to her, "If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, Give me drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water." The woman said to him, "Sir," very polite to him, "Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob?" Oh, that's a good question. Jesus could have told her, I'm greater than Jacob. Jesus could have revealed to her all those things she was asking. Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and cattle? And Jesus answered and said to her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I give him shall never thirst, but the water that I give him shall be in him, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. Jesus is reasoning with her about what the water is. Thank God tonight we have the water of life. And this living water, he says, if you take of the water, he said, first of all, if you knew who you was talking to, isn't that a wonderful thing? Sometimes we don't even know how important the person is we're talking to, and she's talking with the Son of God, and she said, well, why are you offering me a drink? Or why would you ask me a drink? And Jesus said, if you knew who you was talking to, you'd ask me. Because I don't have just wet water, I've got living water. I've got water that'll be inside you and it'll spring up to everlasting life. It's within something something that'll flood your soul. And thank God, that's what salvation does. And Jesus was reasoning with her. And this Samaritan woman, she was ignorant in the understanding, but Jesus gave her the words of the Lord, and he gave her satisfying water of life. And you know the story that after it's all said and done, she goes into the city and she says, come see a man. Oh, thank God we have a message to tell. We have a story to give. And the Bible says here in verse number 19, the woman said to him, Sir, I perceive thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said to her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh. And then he goes on and talks to her again about the God being a spirit. And he's reasoning all these things out. Aren't you glad tonight that our God is a reasonable God? He doesn't look down upon us. He doesn't have that attitude sometimes that we have and say, you ought not to be doing that. You ought not to be guilty. He's already told us in His Word we ought not to be. And when we come into that confrontation that I spoke of this morning, when we come to the thing of salvation, He doesn't. He just reasons out the Word of God, the Scriptures, and lets us know that what He has given to us in this book is real and it'll change our life. Come now, let us reason together. That's one of the sweetest verses of all the Scripture. The Lord wanting me to come. The Lord talking to a man like Nicodemus. Well, everybody thought Nicodemus was all right. Well, he's of the Sanhedrin. He's of the ruling Jews. He had authority. Why? He's all right. We should never say, and never judge somebody being all right. Because I know not the heart. Oh, they may have the actions, they may have the look, they may have everything that sounds right, but it's the heart that matters. It's the difference in the heart. And so he talked with Nicodemus. He talked with this lady. She was really on the opposite end. She was the Nicodemus over here on this side of the pendulum, and then just a few verses, you're over here with a lady that's not living right, not serving right, not doing right. And the Lord is able to talk with her. Thank God He's reasonable. He's willing to come to us where we are. And Jesus gave her that satisfying living water. And thank God for the end result of that and how that the Lord blessed her. So, but the verse that so many times is important, sometimes we forget about, Jesus said, I must needs go through Samaria. He knew. Didn't take him by surprise. He knew that woman would be there when she wasn't supposed to be there. The women that went and got water, they didn't usually come at that hour of the day. But she came there because she was sort of an outcast. She came there because she was a sinner. And she was living in sin. And she thought she would be there, nobody around. But oh, Jesus knew she'd be there. And he just began to reason with her about the water of life. And before it was all said and done, she said, he's the real thing. Thank God tonight he's reasonable. Third one, look over into Luke chapter number 18. Luke chapter number 18. Verse number 18. And a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" He asked the question. The Lord's going to give him the answer. And Jesus said to him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none is good save one, that is God." That statement there, Jesus was letting him know, if you think I'm good, then I have to be God. Because there's not anyone good except the Lord. "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and mother." And he said, "All these have I kept from my youth up." When Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, what's the Lord doing? He's reasoning with him. The Lord, the rich man says, "What can I do to inherit life?" And the Lord, he says, "You're calling me good." And Jesus said, "You know the commandments. Do these things." And the man said, "I've done those things from my youth." Now when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come follow me." And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now here we find the Lord reasoning with this rich man. You see, the rich man, he thought that he was going to obtain eternal life by his good works. He was wanting the Lord to tell him, "How am I going to go to heaven?" And the Lord said, "Well, now you know the commandments." And he said, how am I going to have life eternal?" And Jesus said, "Here's the commandments." And he said, "Oh, I'm in pretty good shape then. I've done all these things." You know, there's a lot of people tonight that think they're in good shape because of what they've done. And they really haven't done anything spiritually other than the actions of the flesh to try to appease. And so he finds that his question became very personal. And then the Lord said, "You've got to distribute everything that you have. Just go sell it and give it to the poor." And the man became very sorrowful because he was a rich man. He was a man that had many goods. He asked and he wanted to, in sincerity, he was wanting these things, and Jesus told him, said, "Now, if you go do." Now we know Jesus was not teaching salvation by works. Jesus was teaching him a lesson and reasoning with him on this fact of, it's not what you do; it's what's already been going to be accomplished. It's not what all you're going to. And this man, he said, "Well, I'm not willing to do that." If a person's not willing to do things for the Lord, they're not willing to accept Him. And this man, as he listened to the things of God, he reasoned with Him, and he had great possessions, and he probably was sincere and earnest in his question, and maybe was very modest in his life, but yet he had possessions, and he would not. And when Jesus saw, verse 24, when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, "How hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? For it's easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God." Now, Jesus doesn't tell us there that rich men can't get saved. It just tells us it's very difficult because they depend upon riches. I don't need God. I don't need the Lord. There's been so much hype this last couple of months about young man Tim Tebow and all the his expressions of his faith. And I tell you what, I enjoy listening to his testimony. I enjoy listening about his life. But there's somebody, one of the other players of another team said, "We don't need God." Very arrogant. "We don't need God to help us win." Using all those things that Tebow has so expressly spoken every time he's spoken to, he gives honor to. He doesn't just generically say God. He says it's Jesus Christ. And I, for one, I'm thankful that there's somebody out there that'll do that, that can be a good role model for our children in some areas. I don't know all of his life, but I tell you what, what's out in public, I sort of enjoy. I don't know what he is behind the scene. I don't know anything about it. But what he does outside, he's saying the right thing, and thank God. And here Jesus is telling this man, He said, you're a rich person, and so it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, because a rich man depends upon his riches. Well, we've got to depend upon the riches of our God. What's the Lord doing here? Yeah, He's reasoning with him. He's talking to him right where he was. Nicodemus, he talked to him right where he was. You've got to be born again. A spiritual need. He talked to the lady at the well. He said, you've got to have living water. He talked with her about her need. And this man here, Jesus is talking to him about his need. His need was not to depend upon his riches, but to depend upon the Lord. And so we find the Lord tells him. Verse 26 here, Luke 18 says, and they that heard it said, who then can be saved? The disciples were confused about some things about salvation. Well, if it's that hard, no, salvation is not hard. Salvation is a trust in an almighty God. Men make it hard. Religion makes it hard. People make it hard, but God's made it very easy. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's very, very, very easy. The Lord was dealing with him right where he was, and he pointed out that salvation was through a Savior, not through riches. This man probably expected the good works that he'd done to make him okay. The Lord said, no, that's not the way it is. So the Lord talks and deals with people right where they are. Now, I'm not going to turn there, but in Luke chapter 10, we have the story of Mary and Martha. A couple, maybe a month ago, I preached a message on Martha and Mary. The Lord dealt with them right where they live. The Lord dealt with them, especially Martha, and the Lord dealt with her about her work. And she was cumbered about all those things. And the Lord was just reasoning with her. Martha, you're cumbered about with good things. And Mary, she's taken the best. So what's the Lord doing? He reasons and He catches us right where we are. And, you know, before we peel our head tonight, God may be reasoning with us about some things. The Lord may bring some things to our heart and our thoughts and could be reasoning with us, and we can discuss and we can talk. Aren't you glad you can talk to the Lord? Aren't you glad you can go to the very presence of God? And by the way, we don't have to bow our head and close our eyes. We can talk to God when we're riding down the road and by ourselves. We can talk to Him just like He's the passenger next to us, because He is there. Well, He's a little closer than that. He's on the inside. And so we can talk with Him, and every once in a while we reason with Him. And boy, I tell you what, the Lord's always reasonable. Never ask unreasonable things of His people. And so He deals with these folks right where they are. Whether it be Nicodemus, whether it be the woman to the well, whether it be the rich young ruler, whether it be Martha. Oh, turn to John chapter 20. There's a man here that He's reasoning with. John chapter 20. Verse number 26. No, go back to verse 24. John 20, verse 24. Now, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. If he'd been where he should have been, he'd have been with them. You know where they were meeting? You know when they were meeting? They were meeting on the first day of the week. You know what they were having? They were having church. But Thomas had something more important to do, he thought. And so the Scripture says he wasn't there when Jesus came. What a loss. You know, some folks here, not here this morning, they wasn't here when Jesus came by. You can tell them about how great it was. You can tell them how good it was. You can express the closeness of the Holy Spirit. But you know what? They just don't get it. They wasn't here. You have to be here. You have to be in God's place to have the blessings of the Lord when He shows up. And you say, well, it'd just be another service. Oh, I don't think this morning was just another service. I believe God did some things in our heart. And by the way, there's not just another service. Every time we come in the house of the Lord, it's not just another service. We're doing what God has commanded us to do. Well, anyway, get back on the subject here. Easy to get off sometimes. Here we find in John chapter 20. It wasn't there when Jesus came. Verse 25. The other disciples therefore said to him, we have seen the Lord. Oh, but look at this. But he said to them, except I shall see his hands, and the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand to his side, I will not believe. What it is here, Thomas says, I just don't believe he showed up. I'm not going to believe it unless I see it. Now, after 8 days, a whole week goes by. You know, it's a long week when you're not in the house of God on his day. Whole week goes by. After 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. I guess he figured out I better be there. Thomas is with them now. Then came Jesus. Ah, thank the Lord. Then came Jesus. You could preach a whole message on those three little words. The doors being shut, and stood in the midst, said, Peace be unto you. Then said he to Thomas, the Lord's going to reason some things out with Thomas now. The Lord is the one that points out Thomas. Then said he to Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. Thomas, I know what you said. I know your attitude. You said you wouldn't believe it unless you saw it. Here I am. Now, this is pretty, a little bit stronger reasoning than he's had some other folks. But by the way, the Lord can be strong with us because he owns us. We've been bought with a price. We are his. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus said to him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. I love this verse. Blessed are they which have not seen and yet have believed. You ought to put out there beside that verse, ought to put your name. If you are a Christian, ought to put your name right there. Because we have not seen him. We have not handled him. We have not touched him. We have not seen the scars in his hands, his feet. And I believe in his forehead. We have not seen the pierced side, but yet we believe. Thomas, you had to see it to believe it, but blessed are those that believe without seeing. The Lord is reasoning with Thomas about his wisdom. Oh, Thomas, he had a lot of good characteristics about him, but he had a problem with faith. His character was good, but he had some flaws in it. He was careless. He wasn't not present when he should have been. And now Thomas says, I believe. His confession. And it all came about because the Lord reasoned with him. I believe the Lord also rebuked him in this, but he was reasoning with him and said, Thomas, now you've had to see. And he said, Blessed are they which have not seen. There God was, the Lord Jesus Christ was knowing there's going to be a generation after generation after generation of people that have not seen. Oh, but thank God I can say I believe. I don't have to see it. We have this to tell us. We have the book. We have faith. And we can believe upon Him, the reasoning of the Lord. And the last one tonight, go back to the Gospel of Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. Here we find some men that were traveling. Luke chapter 24, verse 13. This is right in line with what we were reading this morning, just in a different passage. Verse 12 tells us that Peter ran to the sepulchre, stooping down in the linen clothes. That's where we read this morning. Verse 13 says, And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs, or a little over 6 miles. And they talked together of the things which had happened. And it came to pass while they communed together and reasoned. There's the word. As they were on this road to Emmaus, these men were talking, discussing, reasoning about the things that had happened. The Bible says, as they did that, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Their eyes was holden, that they should not know him. The Lord made it where they wouldn't recognize him. He said to them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are sad? And one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered, said to him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem and hast not known the things that are come to pass in these days? You mean you must not be from around here. That would be our particular. You must not be from around here. You don't know what's happened. And he said to them, what things? And they said to him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to condemn to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. These two men said, we trusted that he was going to redeem Israel. You don't know what's happened in these days? Can you imagine the attitude of the heart of these two men as they walked and discussed? And the Bible says here they reasoned. It says, yea, and certain, and verse 22, yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early in the sepulchre. When they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which saith he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said to them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and have entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures of things concerning himself. The Lord said, You just don't understand. When the Lord called them fools, he was relating that they just didn't have the understanding. And he began at Moses. And the Bible says he expounded to them the scriptures concerning himself. You know what he was doing? He was reasoning with them now. He was teaching them some things about the scripture. And they drew nigh unto the village, verse 28, whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, he blessed it, brake, and gave unto them. And their eyes were opened. And they knew him. He vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened unto us the scriptures? You know what they're saying here? Our heart burned as he reasoned with us out of the Word of God. All of a sudden they recognized who they were talking to. Their eyes had been holding. The Lord had not revealed himself to them. And he began teaching them from Moses' life and told all those things about himself. And then they, all of a sudden they knew him. And he's gone. And they said, then our heart burned. Boy, I tell you what, when the Lord reasons with us, I believe the effect of that is our heart should burn. When the Lord speaks to us about certain issues or certain things in our life, our hearts need to burn for the wonderful words of God and burn for a thankfulness that God has done these things for us. He doesn't have to meet with me. He doesn't have to meet with Grace Baptist Church. He doesn't have to do all those things, but oh, thank God he does. And those men that was on the road to Emmaus, they said, did our hearts not burn as he spoke with us? As he reasoned with them? Well, they were talking about it. They were reasoning, and the Lord just appears and said, I'll help you out, fellas. I'm glad for the help of the Lord. Come now, let us reason together. And these are just five or six illustrations of the Lord reasoning with people in his earthly ministry before and after the resurrection. Well, I'm glad his reasoning didn't stop when he left here, because he's left with us the comfort of the Holy Spirit that reasons with us in the Word of God. He's still a reasonable God. He's still a God that reasons with us. But He always does it out of this. Out of His Word. Nothing better than the Word of God. And God uses these things now to reason with my heart by the activity of the Holy Spirit that lives within me. He's a reasonable God. Come now, let us reason together. If you have a problem in life, you have a difficulty in life, I'm glad we can take it to the Lord. I'm glad He's there and He'll help us. And He'll talk to us about things that we have need of. And He can do that because just as He knew what Thomas had said, Thomas, here's my hands. Here's the scars. Here's the side. The Lord knew what Thomas had said those 8 days before. The Lord didn't have to have him repeat that. And God knows my heart. God knows what I have even thought. I don't have to articulate it. I don't have to put it in words. God knows the intents of our heart. And so He can come to us right where we are and say, let's discuss this matter. And you know, if we'll take His Word, His Word's always true. His Word's always best. We'll find He's very reasonable. Never, never unreasonable. Thank the Lord for our Savior, Jesus Christ, and what He's done for us. Let's stand together tonight.